It's time for the Graham Capital Market Update, a daily look at Wall Street brought to you by Graham Capital, an estate planning and investment management firm right here in Florida. How hard is your money working for you? Let's find out with your hosts, David Graham and Stosh Graham.
This is Dave Graham, the retirement guy, and you're listening to Graham Capital's Market Update. You'll hear us every day at 6 o'clock on 1250 AM WHNC. And we're here to give you an update of what's going on in the markets and what's important to look for and look to, especially when you're concerned about losing what you got. You know, we love what we do. We have offices in Tampa, Sarasota, Venice. Soon, it's probably going to be down in Northport also. We're growing by leaps and bounds over the last 40 years. And our main office for investing is on K Street in Washington, D.C., where we have Graham Capital Wealth Management. And when you throw it all together, it's amazing how we now have well over half a billion dollars of assets that we're in control of. And Stosh is becoming on shortly. He's our chief investment officer, managing director, and he's the only money manager that I know of, a true money manager, that is on the radio on the west coast of Florida, probably the whole state of Florida. But that be said, as always, before we get started, let's all offer a huge heartfelt thanks to our police, firefighters, emergency personnel, our teachers. What about all the men and women in the military services who are so far from home and protecting us? Where would we be without them? Thank God we have them. Hey, let me get started with this. You know, we're running some commercials now, and I want you guys to hear this. If anyone is interested in income, okay? If you purchased an annuity that hasn't made you any money, well, the good news is that you're not stuck with it. You know, at Graham Capital Advisors, we have new proprietary software. We'll show you how you can redirect your money into the highest available income payouts for life. And these are the newest rates. If you're 60 years old, you can get 7.2%. At 65, 7.9%. At 70, 8.5%. 75, 9%. And at 80, 10%. If that sounds too good to be true, then come and schedule an appointment with us. Let us show you how easy it is to get rates. Just go to our website, schedule an appointment. It's GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. That's GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. You know, let's go over quickly some red flags. I always try to get people to understand that, you know, these are common mistakes that are made by retirees. And, you know, I might add also that Graham Capital Advisors is the only company that I know of that you're going to hear on the radio that's been approved by Dave Ramsey for his Smart Investor Pro program. We have a Smart Investor Pro right on our staff. So we got Dave's blessing. So if you're listening to us, following his show, come and call us, come and see us, and we'll help you. It's GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. You know, some of the red flags that you have to be concerned about when it comes to taking care of yourself more than anything else. These are common sense things, but I think it's worthwhile me speaking about it. What about carrying a balance on your credit cards? You know, now more than ever, you have credit cards that are charging 20, 25% interest. Good gosh. You know, and carrying a balance on credit cards that can quickly and easily get you further in debt. It means you're paying higher interest rates, fees, and therefore more money that you should be having. You know, retirees, when they transition from having a steady paycheck every 2 weeks to a fixed income, you know, paying off interest can become more difficult. So the interest accrued can snowball quickly depleting your savings during your retirement. That's one mistake. Make sure you're getting ready to retire. You get rid of those credit cards. Go to debit cards. Get accustomed to using them. Because what you got is what you got. And the last thing you want to do is start paying 20, 25% interest rates. What about collecting Social Security too early? You know, when you start collecting Social Security benefits as early as age 62, collecting too early can significantly reduce your monthly payout. And baby boomers, they may be eager to enjoy retirement and think that they should receive Social Security as soon as possible. However, waiting until full retirement age or even later can actually result in much higher monthly payments. And that's optimizing when you begin collecting Social Security can make a big, big difference in your total lifetime income that you receive. The optimal strategy depends on your specific situation. Everyone is different. But for some, this may mean waiting until age 70 before collecting Social Security. For every year from age 62 to 67, you get a 6% increase every year. And then from 67 to 70 and change, you're looking at 8%. That's huge. It's huge. Don't take Social Security unless you need it. And you need it, then you take it. But that's one more. Here's one more I want to bring up. Selling investments when the market drops, okay? Fluctuations in the market are the inevitable part of investing. You know, however, some people panic during a downturn and they sell their investments before they had planned to. There's a cliche by Warren Buffett, be fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful. Okay, that's what you should follow if you're going to be following advice. And that's coming from the man that is the wealthiest man in the world, that made his money by investing, not into finding an oil field or inventing the internet, anything like that. But fluctuations are just part of it. And we want to make sure that you have a well-diversified portfolio, long-term investment strategy, so it can provide you with stable income. Income that you're not going to have to worry about. You know that you're going to get a check every 2 weeks. I'll give you one more. What about paying too much for your housing costs? You know, housing is a significant expense no matter what stage of life you're in, but it can be especially difficult during retirement. This is when some baby boomers who own homes, they might find themselves house rich and cash poor. And that doesn't mean you go out and get yourself a reverse mortgage right away, but you got to be a little bit more creative now. You know, maintaining a large house with high property taxes, utility bills, maintenance costs, what have you, HOA fees, they can strain your limited retirement resources. Downsizing or exploring cost-effective housing options can free up funds for other essential needs. When you come into our office, the first thing we're going to show you is, look, let's see what you got coming in. Let's put it down here on paper. Let's see what you're spending every month. By actually doing that, you know, you just draw a T on a yellow pad, and if you still have a pen or pencils, just put all the pluses on one side, all the negatives on the other, and add it up. And that'll kind of give you an idea of where you are and how much you really need to spend. Now, Graham Capital Advisors, we can help you. If you're not sure what to do, come and see us. We can help you do it the easy way. When you leave our office, I guarantee you, the stress will leave your body. So come and see us. We have offices again in Tampa, Sarasota, and Venice. Go to our website. It's GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. And online, I have Stosh Graham, the Chief Investment Officer, Managing Director of Graham Capital Wealth Management in Washington, D.C. That's GrahamCapitalWealth.com. Hey, how's it going, guy?
How's it going, David?
Well, Stosh, let me ask you, the Federal Reserve meeting in the next couple of days and the expectations that the Fed keeps rates high, how's that impacted the lending markets?
So, I mean, look, lending markets are still, especially if we look year over year, they're down. Now that we're talking, you know, we're in the middle of March of 2024, just a year ago this time, we were in the early stages of really a two-wave tier of the banking contagion that went on, where we had a handful of banks basically get shut down and sold at parts. And look, we just saw just a recent development a couple weeks ago in regards to New York Community Bank, which was actually an acquirer of one of the distressed banks, Signature Bank in New York. So, you know, we've marked 1 year on the banking contagion, if that's what you want to call it. And look, lending has basically been flat from them. But on a year-over-year basis, we have seen it basically fall a little. We have seen in the last month or so outstanding loans from banks fall a little bit, but nothing necessarily of note. But it does make lending tough. And I think that's the important part about keeping rates this high, is it puts pressure on people the household, and it puts pressure on businesses. And right. I read a report by the Financial Times over the weekend, and it was titled "Debt Defaults at Highest Rate Since Global Financial Crisis, S&P, the Standard & Poor's Reveals." And basically, the article went on to say that per the S&P, you've seen so far more companies default on their debt obligations in 2024 to the start of 2024, the start of the year, since the Great Financial Crisis. We haven't right. seen it this high. And the main reasons, as they go through the bankruptcy restructuring, inflation pressures, and high interest rates.
Right.
And again, from Standard & Poor's, so it's one source. But again, through these types of matters, historically, they're very good. So look, I think it's important to know that we are still in the early innings of a default cycle. And I right. know that gets lost on people because you look at the S&P 500 trading, you know, right at arm's length of all-time highs. The overall landscape is still showing an increase in the amount of bankruptcies, bankruptcy restructurings, and further pressure for a great majority of the businesses. They just don't happen to be publicly traded large cap companies.
Right. Well, I noticed probably in the last 3 or 4 years, the Fed has been letting as much as $60 billion in treasuries and as much as $35 billion in agency-backed mortgage debt that mature each month. And it's rolling off its balance sheet. And, you know, it's a process known as quantitative tightening, but the central bank can't maintain that pace forever. What do you see happening? What do you see happening with that?
Yeah, you know, and I think this transitions into a funny dynamic because this was another topic of conversation with David Rosenberg, who is of Merrill Lynch fame, and now he's created his own research firm. But the topic here was, to your point, Jay Powell has been trying to undertake quantitative tightening. Obviously, it's at a glacial pace, especially when compared to quantitative easing the last 15 years.
Right.
But what does that do? And again, I think one of the larger dynamic at play here is whose problem is it? Is it really Jay Powell's problem? If interest rates stay higher for longer and the supply-demand imbalance of treasuries still skews as it recently has, which is you have a growing debt and deficit of the United States that systematically increases the amount of supply, the Federal Reserve at what pace? It could be glacial, but they are a net seller of treasuries. They're not buying treasuries. They're net sellers of treasuries. That further increases supply. You need demand to come from somewhere. And if they're showing, if demand is not willing to grow in pace with supply, that means systematically you should have a higher interest rate. If we do continue to see that, whose right. problem is it? Is it Fed Chair Jerome Powell's problem? Or is it Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen's problem? And in the case of the conversation with David Rosenberg, it's going to be Janet Yellen's problem or whoever the Treasury Secretary
right.
is. Because again, these persistently large deficits only increases an already large debt burden. And again, I think the way you judge a debt burden is its relative size to gross domestic product, GDP, which is how you judge or weigh the size of an economy, which right now is over 120%. So
right.
the debt to GDP is already over 120 and it's growing. That's not good. And again, how do you get out of this? It's very tedious for someone to be able to get out of this situation without inflicting some type of damage to financial asset prices. I know it doesn't feel that way right now. And again, it could take time, but it's just very hard how you rectify that problem, again, without causing some type of pain to at-risk assets like stocks.
Well, that's it. You know, back in 2018, the central bank, you know, was lending as much as $30 billion in treasuries and about $20 billion, I guess, in agency-backed securities mortgage debt, you know, run off. That's nearly half the size of the current plan. before it decided to start slowing things up. But by the time the Fed did that, market pressures were already there. They were really fairly evident. And, you know, I guess, market indicators might suggest that bank reserves are still abundant, but there are some signs that might be time for the Fed to start, you know, thinking about what they're doing. And, only time will tell, I guess. You know, when you look at that, you know, the best thing they want to do now is, you know, have a blow up by the end of the year. Let's go to a different subject. What about home builders? You know, home builders seem to be very confident about the real estate market. And in a recent survey, they indicated a good 2024 demand. So where does that positively come from?
I think some of it is largely the dynamics of supply-demand. We know over the last year, year and a half, as interest rates have been punitively expensive, that has suppressed demand. We know demand is there, but it's being artificially suppressed due to high interest rates. Home builders believe interest rates are coming down. That's where a lot of these assumptions are in the home builder surveys. So it is something you want to keep an eye on because they do believe there's pent-up demand. Home builders are a little bit different in that they can offer incentives to buyers. That's what makes them unique or to interested parties. They can help structure deals where maybe for an extra couple bucks, they can offer you an interest rate that's a little bit lower than what you would get if you went to the bank yourself, for an example. They can make it more affordable. They can give you perks that the average seller, reseller of their existing home cannot do. So it is going to be something important to watch. But I think, again, it paints a picture where we had a structural deficit of homes coming out of the great financial crisis of home creation. And now you have a lot of first-time home builders that were pent up from 5 or 6 years ago that have bought recently, but you still have 3 to 4 years of people who've been saving up who wanted to buy, but they couldn't afford to buy because capital is too expensive. So again, I still think there's a runway for home builders, even product builders or building product providers. It's an interesting area to go. But when you look at all these companies, they're all trading at their 52-week highs. They're priced to perfection at this point.
Right. Well, you know what? When you look at the real estate market, I was looking that, you know, this kind of an obscure investment product that is used to finance risky real estate projects that are facing kind of unprecedented stress now, I think, because borrowers are struggling to repay loans tied to commercial property ventures. You know, they're known as commercial real estate collateralized loan obligations, or you see the initials CRE, CLO, the acronym, but they basically just bundle debt that they could be used to be seen as too speculative for regular conventional mortgage-backed securities, you know, into bonds for varying, you know, risk of return. And, you know, we had plenty of those in the crash that obviously didn't work out very well. But I know in the last 7 months, there's tremendous sharing of these troubled, you know, assets, and they surge almost fourfold, you know. And so I guess the question is, when you look at commercial real estate today and you see everything that they're going through, good gosh, I think the shakeout, I think in New York City, there was $20 trillion of U.S. commercial in the commercial real estate market. And it nearly brought down like the New York community, Bancor, and you look at all of this. Where do you think commercial real estate is going to be going now with everything going on?
You're still in the early innings there too. You know, I would probably say you're ranging between the second and fourth inning. Depends on what type of real estate you're talking about. Obviously, office is the one that dominates all the headlines because that's the one that's probably most. You know, most in trouble.
Right.
Look, I mean, you're still in the early innings. We spend a lot of time in the commercial real estate space. We get listings sent to us by brokers all the time. I've noticed more and more auctions in the last few months offering buildings. There's one that opened up yesterday. Starting bid was $4 million, and it was a 300,000 square foot building right in the middle of Baltimore.
Wow.
Off Charles Street. So again, Then we're just talking $4 million was a starting bid. And as I'm talking to you today, it's the current bid. So it's just, it's a very, very tough time to have exposure in that respective space, lending to commercial buildings. Again, I think you have to certainly look at what industry you're in or what subsector of real estate. Are you office? Are you industrial? There are a lot of different other subsectors of commercial real estate than just office, and some that would be very interesting to invest in. I think if you're looking at digital towers or data centers, I know got a little bit saturated, but now they're loved again. Again, there's a lot of different sectors than just office. But to your point, and this report has been around now for a couple months, provided by different people and different numbers, but the gist of it is the same. You are seeing more distressed borrowers get behind, and you are going to have a situation, and you've already seen it, and it's going to continue for the next few years. What are these borrowers going to do? Now, CLOs are just one mechanism. You have commercial real estate investment trusts who'd like to do it direct. You do have private credit that operate in this space. You have a slight variation of CLOs is you have commercial mortgage-backed securities.
Right.
So again, and then you obviously have traditional banks, or you actually have insurance companies. They also participate. Again, you have a lot of different parties that play in the lending world in regards to commercial real estate, and you have a multi-year event. Again, more years than what we've experienced so far, where you're going to have a borrower decide what they want to do. Are they going to want to put up more capital to make their loans or to be in good compliance with the covenants of their loans? Or are they going to want to walk away? Or is the person who lent the money going to be able to cut their investment, absorb some losses, write down some of the loan, and let the borrower have new terms on their loan? Again, it's going to be a fascinating exercise, right? Because you're seeing hundreds of billions of dollars at stake.
Right. Oh, another sector. Let's go to energy. And I saw where West Texas Intermediate rose 1.2%. They're kind of settling down around $78 a barrel. I guess it's pushing past its 200-day moving average, and with the bulls now finding support, the global oil demand will continue to, I guess, be strong growth throughout the year. So How do you see the energy market wrap up this year?
Energy was so unloved last year. It's harder for it to get as much, I don't want to say hate, but it's hard for it to not get any more attention right now. Because again, you're talking about businesses that are generating a lot of free cash flow. And they have generally very good balance sheets. You don't see too many companies that offer that, but then also have their stock price probably trade down 20 to 30%, as you saw last year with a lot of energy companies. Again, if you were a company that had a good balance sheet generating free cash flow, your stock was probably higher last year or higher to start this year. You can't say that with energy. Yeah, it's been okay this year, but for the first 70 days this year, 70, 80 days this year. But last year was broadly very poor for energy. So again, it's something you want to keep an eye on. But I think the floor, we've said this before, I think the floor has been set on energy. It's probably the end of last year. Again, you're seeing a lot better capital management from energy companies broadly in the United States.
Yeah, I noticed where there's a fleet of oil tankers from Russia, and now that we hit them with harder sanctions, the price of crude, is at least in Russia, delivery of crude is really starting to come to a halt. I guess that's another sign that Western measures are starting to affect the Russian economy. Do you feel that's going to continue? When you look at that going on, then you look at those rebels still shooting at ships going in the Red Sea. You still do, with everything going on with that, you still feel confident that and we're not going to have any kind of energy problem, primarily because I guess there's more exploration now than there ever was in the history of America. Is that why would you say that?
Look, I think the idea in regards to energy, and I appreciate you mentioning the possibility of further Russian sanctions, because I think that is going to happen. You have to see what's going on with OPEC and OPEC Plus. And I think separately, when you think about Saudi Arabia, the second largest provider of oil in the world, you have to wonder about at what point have they peaked out in terms of maximizing the wells that they have in the ground and how much they're able to get out of the ground from those wells. There are a lot smarter people than I in this respective space that believe that Saudi Arabia is already at their peak. They're not going to be able to ramp up and increase production much, much more or at higher growth rates than what they've been able to accomplish the last 5 years, or say maybe the last from 2019 to 2022. Compared to what we've seen from 2022 to 2024. A lot of their investments were a decade ago, 5-10 years ago, and maybe they're at the very peak. And so, again, what does that mean for the next 5 to 10 years if Saudi Arabia's production growth rate is really peaked out, or it's going to cost them to put a ton more capital into the ground to get less of a return to show for it? Again, globally, it just paints a picture of it's going to be a lot more expensive to get energy out of the ground, and someone's going to have to pay for that.
Right.
And it's going to be the end borrower in the form of higher prices, which should benefit investors of energy companies.
Well said. Stasha, as always, we appreciate your sound, sage advice, and let's see how it wraps up tomorrow. I'll be talking to you tomorrow. You take care.
Absolutely. Take care, David.
Well, you were just listening to Stash Graham. He's the Chief Investment Officer, Managing Director of Graham Capital Wealth Management in Washington, D.C. That's grahamcapitalwealth.com. And he's responsible for well into nine figures of assets to not make mistakes. And he's pretty good at what he does. He's the only money manager that I know of that you're going to hear on the radio in the state of Florida. And you feel that now is a good time to get a good second opinion, because something inside you is telling you you need to do that. You have the power to pick the phone up and call us. It's 1-800-808-5009. That's 1-800-808-5009. Or simply go to our website. That's grahamcapitaladvisors.com. grahamcapitaladvisors.com. And schedule an appointment. You can do it. Nothing's going to happen until you do it. But if you do, I guarantee you, you're going to be happy with what you hear. And you're going to get a good, free, no-cost consultation on what you need to do to preserve and protect what you have. We look at three separate entities: legal, planning, and investing properly. Go to our website, schedule an appointment. It's grahamcapitaladvisors.com. Really want to be lucky in life? Go help someone. Got a smile on you. You get to be incredibly lucky. Lucky to be Americans, right on our currency. In God we trust. Good luck. God bless. Take care of each other. Stay safe. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Graham Capital Market Update. For more information on any of today's topics, visit grahamcapitaladvisors.com. This program is sponsored by Graham Capital Advisors, LLC, an independent estate planning and insurance agency. Investment advisory services are provided by Graham Capital Wealth Management, LLC, an independent registered investment advisor. Advisory services are only offered to clients or prospective clients where Graham Capital Wealth Management and its representatives are properly licensed or exempt from licensure. The information provided is for educational and informational purposes only and does not constitute investment advice, and it should not be relied on as such. Individuals should consult a qualified professional for guidance before making any purchasing decisions.